Welcome back to Workshop Week. This is day five, our last day together here. And I think I saved the best for last. I have so much fun with writing. And I'd love to invite you to remember that no matter how you're using your voice, whether you're writing a post, writing a blog, writing a podcast episode, writing a keynote speech, writing a proposal for a job, whatever it is, you are using writing in your business. There are so many ways that we use it. One of the last Content by Design students, Andrea, she's actually an OBM, an operating business manager, and she's a writer. So she was excited to, actually, I think you meet her in the workbook. Yeah, I think she talked a little bit about her story there. But when she came into the Content by Design course, she was thinking that she was going to use what she was learning to write blog posts and to write Instagram posts and to bring people into her OBM world. And then she started using what she was learning to write proposals. And those proposals not only got accepted at a lot higher rate, she also had people who had accepted her proposals ask her to train them and to rework their proposals based on how she wrote hers, because it landed so much better with them. Isn't that amazing? I was so surprised by that. So today we're going to talk about how to actually write.
Welcome to Unjaded. I'm your host, Vicki Dixon. This is a podcast with a human design spin on building the life, the relationships, and the business that you were made for. Let's dive in.
Okay, you ready? Let's dive in on this. I am excited for this one. So we're going to cover four basic writing tips, and then I am going to give you the mother of all tips, and that is going to be about your human design environment. So stay tuned for the fifth tip because it's a doozy. So the beat of three. If you look at the workbook, oh yeah, I forgot to remind you, make sure that you have the workbook. It's linked in the show notes. You're going to want the workbook so that you can go through this entire week and actually do the exercises and actually create content that works. So number one in your workbook is the beat of three. This is, so the brain likes uneven numbers. I remember when I had my retail store, we had someone come in to show us how to train us on how to design the window displays and any kind of display in the store. She said, you never use even numbers because the brain will be more drawn to uneven numbers, right? I don't know. Can you play with this in your own mind and think about, do you love things when you look at, you know, a graphic online or something? Do you love it to be perfectly centered or do you like things to be a little bit off? Are you drawn to things that are two things or three things? The brain automatically, like visually, that attracts us to the three things or the five things or the seven things. And even if you're writing numbers, this was actually a tip from Randy Gage's event. I wrote something and I said it was room number, I don't know, let's say it was room number 898. And he's like, say 897, because the brain automatically goes for that uneven number. So the beat of three is using three points or three bullets or three sentences. And there is an example of this in the workbook where I actually spoke in those three things. So you'll notice that when you look at my content that I almost always, like I don't think we can ever say never. I really try hard not to do 2 points. I try to make it one thing or three things. And if I was going to do 4 things, I would make sure that I had 5 things. So uneven numbers always. And it's just a natural. So if you say you have apples and oranges and bananas, or if you say you have apples and oranges. If you say you have a Toyota, a Honda, and a Kia. Or if you say you have a Toyota and a Honda. Like, it's just the brain likes that pattern of, it's almost like a song. It almost provides like a beat to your content. So try to focus on uneven numbers of things, uneven numbers of points. So when you're looking at the benefits of what this person is going to do with you, or when you're looking at the pain that this person is in when they are looking at your content, make it 3 or make it 5. But don't make it 2 or 4, okay? Make sense? Speak to one person at a time. This is huge. This is probably one of my biggest pet peeves in content. So when you go on an Instagram live, let's say, and you say, you're just popping on to speak to you guys about, like you have automatically lost a lot of people because we don't want to think that we are part of a crowd. We don't want to be you guys, right? You're not speaking to you guys. You're speaking to one person. So, you know, if you have one person on your email list, speak as if you have 1,000 people on your list, but still speaking to the one person, right? Like have the energy of that. If you have 1,000 people on your email list, speak as if you're speaking to that one person. So when someone opens your email, they're not, you're not saying something like, hey, I'm just popping in to let you guys know that blah, 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 the card is open for whatever. No, it's like to let you know you're speaking to one person. And something that can really help you to do this is to have a photograph of your ideal fit client, whether it's fictitious or a real person, have it on your computer. You know, if you're doing an Instagram live, put a picture of someone who suits your ideal client avatar on your computer by your camera, so that you're actually looking at that person and you're speaking to that person. One person. You are my listener and I am speaking with you directly in your ears as you take your walk or as you go for a drive, rather than coming on and speaking to absolutely everyone. So speak to one person at a time. And I'm going to give a little bonus tip with this one as well. Give your people one thing to do. So please, for the love of God, do not ask people to save and comment and like and share and blah, 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 blah. No, one thing to do. They don't work for you. They don't need to take 16 actions every time you post something. Just ask them to do one thing, one call to action. And yes, your audience members are smart. And yes, sometimes in emails, you need to put more than one link. And in show notes, you need to put more than one link. And that's okay, because I choose to believe that my audience members are super, super smart and they can handle that. And I also don't need to overload you with more things to do. I want to make it simple for you to do the one thing that you need to do to move yourself forward. So in these episodes, now I feel like as human design readers, we have that extra step all the time of telling people to download the chart, because you need your human design chart to get the most out of a human design podcast. And then this week, it's been all about get the workbook, get the workbook, get the workbook, get the workbook. Sure, there are 100 things I could be asking you to do, but I know that the thing that's going to move you forward the most is having that workbook in your hands and actually doing the exercises. So that's really important. Okay, tip number three, set the scene. So what do I mean by this? Storytelling is huge. And I think it's something that people almost removed from their content, especially with the rise of AI. I see so many people using AI to write their content, and it's like there's no through line, there's no story, there's no bringing people into it with them. It's just this kind of flat content. You know, you can tell AI content when you see it. And a lot of people write like that, whether they're using AI or not. It's like we are afraid to give people too many details because we think they don't care. But the way that the brain learns is through story. If I were to tell you a story of a grandmother who is sitting by the fire and, you know, roasting marshmallows with her grandkids and blah, 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 that's going to stick with you longer than me saying the grandmother told her granddaughter this. So you really want to bring people with you by setting the scene. So instead of just dropping in and saying, I had a conversation with someone the other day and they told me that they hold their breath all day long. We'll go for a breathwork example. What if you were to say, and it was Tuesday morning, I'm sitting at a coffee shop and I look over at the lady beside me and I'm thinking, are her shoulders really not moving? Like, is she alive over there? What's happening at that table? And she looked over at me and I realized she's not exhaling. She's not even taking a breath. So we got to talking. Now, which one is more effective? Which one draws you in? Which one makes you want to know more? It's the story, right? And these aren't even good stories that I'm telling. I'm just like off the cuff. So set the scene for your people. It was Tuesday morning at 5 o'clock. It was dark outside and my dog was barking like crazy. I'm in the middle of teaching this yoga class and you wouldn't believe what happened. So like set the scene. Ideally, you want people to be able to smell and taste and hear and feel and see what you see. You want to bring them into the story. So set the scene as much as possible, especially in a longer piece of content. You can't always do this in an Instagram post, but you can sometimes. I mean, especially in long form content. I love to write long form content, right? Not everybody does, and that's okay. But you can sometimes get away with doing a little bit more scene setting, and it always draws your reader further into the story with you. And you can definitely do this in live video, in workshops, in webinars, when you're speaking from the stage, when you're creating a podcast. There are so many ways to set the scene and bring people into it with you so that you got them. They're hanging on every word as you start to teach the lesson. Number four, one topic per piece of content. This is the thing that happens the most in the Content by Design course. It's so fun because when people first start in, it's an 8-week program, an 8-week course. And when people first start in, they're coming to the calls and they have like, they've written an Instagram post, let's say, or a Facebook post. And I look at it and it's no exaggeration for there to be 12 pieces of content in one post. And I'm like, whoa, slow down. Think about your person. Your ideal client is sitting, looking at Instagram, looking at Facebook, looking at whatever, and they're scrolling and they stop on your content. So that's like a big thank you for stopping here and spending a minute with me. And they're already probably overwhelmed. You know, they're scrolling on Instagram for a little bit of a break. They're scrolling on Facebook to escape their, you know, office chaos for a few minutes. And then you overwhelm them more with 12 things in a post. And then you ask them to do 4 different calls to action at the end of it. So one thing, you know, I don't know why I'm on breathwork all of a sudden, but say that you're a breathwork coach, probably because we had one in the Content by Design course, but say that you're a breathwork coach and you're talking about nervous system regulation. Well, most of your people do not know, probably, depending on where they are on the scale of awareness. And that's something we talk about in the course as well. But if they are brand new to breathwork and they aren't familiar with nervous system regulation, and you drop the term nervous system regulation 6 times in your post, and you never tell them what that really means, then they're completely lost. Like, you've overwhelmed them more. So we want to use words that they understand. And I don't mean that people are dumb. Most people read at a 7th grade level. And we are wrapped up in our own lives. So if your ideal fit customer is sitting at her desk job, holding her breath, running her life like crazy, you know, picking up kids from sports and trying to get takeout for dinner and doing all of these crazy things, and you know she's not breathing and you know she needs to breathe, is she spending time thinking about her nervous system being dysregulated? No, she just knows that her life is on autopilot and that she can barely keep up to it. So that's what you need to address. And that's one thing that needs to be addressed in that piece of content. So it's not unpacking, you know, 16 ways that this can help her. It's like, one tip and one way it's going to help move her forward in her life. I hope that's making sense. I really wish sometimes that with a podcast, I could see you nodding your head or being like, oh, okay, or no, I don't get that, because it would make it so much easier. So just really try when you do a piece of content. We spend so much time on this in Content by Design, so much time, because we all tend to do this where we want to give them so much, right? We think we're doing more for our clients when we tell them more, but really people want us to edit. People want us to edit and they want to be like, what is the one thing that I need to know right now? And just give me that, because I'm already on overwhelm. I'm already going crazy here. Just give me one thing I can use. So if you took nothing else from this workshop week and you did just that one thing of culling your content back to just be one thing in a post, you would see greater results in your business. I promise you, promise you, promise you. But you've got way more than that you can get out of this workshop week. But even that one thing will be a huge difference. Okay, now, the mother of all tips. So what we want to talk about is your human design environment. This is your bonus tip. This is one of my favorite things to teach inside of the Content by Design course or anywhere else I get to. So this relates to, we call them variables in human design, and your environment variable is, it's one of the arrows. So there are the arrows by the top of your head center, okay? So if your arrow is facing left, this is the second arrow. This is the bottom arrow on the left-hand side. If the bottom arrow on the left-hand side is facing left, then you need a more consistent environment. So maybe you want to sit at the same desk with the same picture on the wall, in the same chair, facing the same direction, all of those things. A person with a right-facing arrow here is going to need more variability in their environment. I have this in my design. I'm a quad right, so all of my arrows point right. So I need a lot of flexibility and flow. I need to be able to work in different spaces, even in my house. Sometimes I'm upstairs, sometimes in my office, sometimes in the living room, sometimes in the kitchen, sometimes at Starbucks, sometimes at another coffee shop. I need a lot of variability in my environment. Whereas someone with a left-facing environment variable, they're going to need a lot more consistency in their environment. Now, there are 6 different types of specific environments, and yours will be listed on your human design chart. If it's not on your human design chart, just message me, send me a picture of your chart. on Instagram. It's vicky.dixon, and I will find it for you, okay? So a caves environment. If you have a caves environment in your human design, then you will do best with one door in your room where you're creating, one door, and you want to be facing that door. So think about yourself. I have a friend who is a caves environment, and she like gets into my house and wraps herself in a blankie and sits on the couch facing the door all the time. It's like just her go-to. She wants to be as if she is cuddled up in a cave. If you have a markets environment, this is my environment, you are going to come alive in a place where goods and services are exchanging hands, where things are being, you know, like a flea market, or it doesn't have to be an actual market. It can be just anywhere where goods and services are exchanging hands. But you really need that like markety type environment to juice you up. Sometimes for me, it's just like walking around a little village near me where I can go into little different shops and see the different things. I don't have to buy anything. It's just getting out in that type of an environment brings my design alive. If you have a kitchen's environment, you want to be in an environment, think about a busy restaurant kitchen, where it's basically where something is transforming. You're taking raw ingredients and transforming them into something else. So anywhere where you have that hustle and bustle of a busy kitchen, where things are being transformed. If you have a mountains environment, then you want to be up a little bit higher. So maybe a second floor office. Maybe, you know, if you go into a restaurant and there's a raised platform where you can sit on, maybe you want to sit there. Maybe there are bar tables. You would do better at the bar tables than on the floor tables. If you have a valley's environment, think about a valley. You want to be where you can look out and see things, where you're a little bit lower than everything else and you can look up and look out and see things. If you have a shore's environment, you want to be where two different things come together. So think of a shore, like you have the sand and then you have the water, right? So somewhere where you can see two different types of terrain is going to be very good for you. And why does environment matter? It matters because it is going to bring your design to life. There is nothing for content creation that is quite as good as getting in the environment that is right for you, because it's like it zhuzhes up your entire design. It's like it just brings it to life. And then you have access to things that you didn't have access to when you were in a different environment. So for me, with my markets environment, if I'm in my home office for days, you know, 3 days, that's nothing for me to be in my home office for 3 days at a time and never to go out. And then by day four, it's like, oh my gosh, I just have to get out and just be out and about for a little bit. And then I get like all fired up and I come back and then I can create and create and create. Or sometimes I go and sit at Starbucks or another coffee shop and work, because that provides me with some sort of, like, it's like a feeding of my energy. And that's what your human design environment is. So give yourself the gift of igniting your creativity by being in the environment that's right for you according to your human design. So again, we go really deep into this in the Content by Design course. And the cart is now open for the Content by Design. You've gotten to the end of workshop week. If you're here live, it is March 29th, 2024, and our next live round of Content by Design starts on April 22nd. So you've got some time to get in there. You've got some time to message me if you have questions. You also have this whole workbook from this workshop week that you can go back through and write some pieces of content. There are prompts in that workbook each and every day that will get you one step closer to writing content as it lives in your human design. And the magic in that is that your human design is really your path back to yourself. It is the blueprint of who you came here to be. And when you can speak from that place, when you can unpack your purpose, who you are here to be, your purpose really doesn't have anything to do with what you're doing in life. It's all about who you're being in life. And when you can live from that place and speak from that place, you can't help but draw your perfect fit clients to you. And that's what you're here to do, so that you can have the impact that you came here to have. Thank you so much for being here for workshop week. I trust that you got value out of it and that you've gone through your workbook and you've written some content that you can be really proud of and that you can start to test. And when you're ready for more, when you join us inside of the Content by Design course, you'll get access to the bonuses right away. And we start on April 22nd. I can't wait to see you inside.